Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Welcome back to the Sports with Neil podcast. Neil Roberts, Victor Vargas, and Matthew Zimmer coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. One of us is in Moses Lake. One of us is in Everett, Washington. The other is near Portland, Oregon. It's up to you, the listeners, to figure out who's where here on another
Bermuda
episode
Triangle.
Of the Sports with... the Bermuda Triangle of Sports with Talk Radio, right? How are you two gentlemen doing tonight?
Well, I just got into Moses, so I'm just tired.
Nice spoiler there, Victor.
Yeah.
Well, they'll never know where you and I are, Neil, so we'll just go with that one, right?
Okay, exactly. It's impossible for them to figure it out. It's not like half the people who are listening to this know me personally.
It's not like they actually know where your house is, so it's not like they know where you are. It's fine. Just let it go.
Okay, I'll let it go for now.
It's the time of year for that song to make a comeback, isn't it, right? Christmas, and that's all about being frozen, so it works out.
Do not go there. Bad alcohol memories, right, Victor? Oh, God. So much rum, so much bad song, so much drinking.
Why is the rum always gone?
Because Neil's here.
Because Uncle showed up.
That's fair.
All right, so this podcast is off to a interesting start here, but it's probably something that the bars in El Paso, Texas are going to get to know very well, which is running out of alcohol, as Washington State fans should be flooding the area, and by flooding, I mean trickling in over the next few days for the game. That's the day after Christmas at noon local time on the 26th of December. I know I'll be going to El Paso. I don't know about you two, but it'll be interesting to see how the atmosphere is at the Sun Bowl Stadium for an abnormal time for this bowl game.
I mean, well, you guys are near – El Paso is near the Mexico border, so you should at least have tequila for the weekend.
We'll just have to go across the border to get it if El Paso runs dry.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of places they could go, and Coach Leach wanted to go to Suarez, so we'll see if he gets his wish. And if he does, too, I don't think we'll get to hear about it, but unless he gets arrested, something weird happens. I don't think we'll know if he ever crosses the border.
Yeah, I doubt that would become public knowledge. I know that the football team, including Coach Leach, was at Fort Bliss today, the nearby military installation, doing tactical simulators. Some interesting videos are posted by the official athletic page's Instagram. You know, it's kind of an interesting, you know, dynamic down there in El Paso. This is bowl game in college football, and it's typically the early game on the 30th of December, you know, before the Holiday Bowl and the more famous bowl games. But because of the New Year's Six, it got bumped, and everything getting shifted around as a result, it got bumped to the 26th of December, which is probably going to lead to deflated attendance on both sides. What do you guys think?
Well, it's probably a safe bet, considering half of the Cougs fans that I have on Twitter that I either follow or follow me are between, one, it's too expensive to try to fly in the day before the game, which is obviously Christmas, or even a couple days out, because then you've got to spend a mountain on the plane ticket to and from the hotel for however many days you plan to stay, all of the potential of you know, having a car to drive around, wherever you decide to go, where you decide to eat, there's going to be so many different expenses that you have to go through, and that doesn't even count the tickets to watch the bowl game. You know, so getting there is going to be half of the problem, and then, you know, surviving, I don't mean surviving like literally, but, you know, surviving through all of the monetary expenses you'll have before the game even happens. So I think one of the big things is that a lot of people are if they are going, they've already gotten there. And if they haven't, then, you know, they're going to be paying, for lack of a better term, out the wazoo. And it's, you know, it's been a lot of people saying, I was going to go to the bowl game, I was going to go to the Holiday Bowl, because it's far enough off from Christmas and just close enough to, you know, New Year's that I can handle it. But just not enough, I think, appeal, unfortunately, for the people of El Paso, from the fan base, to really commit the money and the time to go.
I agree with Matt's part. I mean, I hear what you're saying on the survival part. It's not literally surviving, but if you're there now, you're assuming you've been there a couple of days, you know, you've just been trying to sort of kill the boredom there. I mean, El Paso is probably a fun town. I mean, I've never spent like a significant amount of time there. I've only passed through it, but when you're there for like, when you're somewhere for like a specific purpose, that's kind of just takes the fun out of everything else.
Yeah, especially with how hard it is to fly into El Paso. My dad and I are leaving Seattle Tacoma at 6:30 on Christmas Day p.m. and we're getting into El Paso at about 10 local time, and then we're spending the night in a hotel, and then we're flying out at 9 o'clock local time, so about 7 o'clock our time from El Paso, and we get back to Seattle at 1 in the morning. So, and that's costing us about $830 total each. So it's not cheap, not easy to get to, and we both have and it's multiple layovers both ways. Really wish they got into a better bowl game.
My advice would be just make the most out of it. I mean, you are spending that money, so you may as well have some fun, right?
Yep. We've got our tickets and everything. We're at the 20-yard line, like halfway up the bowl.
It's pretty good.
It's not too bad, so it'll be fun. We'll get to watch two high-powered offenses in Washington State, the Air Raid in Miami, which has its interim head coach in Larry Scott. It's nice that the Pac-12 is willing to loan its commissioner to the university across the country, but that's beside the point here.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it was a lame joke.
I was curious if Mark Richt would coach before they announced, like, well before. Obviously not now, because we know who's going to coach. But I was interested to see what, if any, type of role he would have, if he would even just be on the sidelines kind of hanging out during the game, maybe bring some recruits to the game and say, hey, check out this atmosphere. This is what it's like to go to a bowl game. Would you like to be a part of that? You know, this is what you can expect at Miami. Is, you know the tradition. You've heard the stories of Miami of yesteryear. You know, so it's going to be a fun matchup. Neil, you and I were talking about this earlier today, and it's a matchup of two teams that one's program is really well-known and the other one is well-known by those who have either purposefully watched it or live in the Northwest, because, you know, the Cougs had some Rose Bowl runs. The Cougs had some really good teams in the 90s and early 2000s. You got Bledsoe and Gesser and Brink, and, you know, it just really hasn't translated since those three moved on. You know, you had some really good quarterbacks during our time there with, you know, in terms of good being just, you know, had a good arm and had talent and, you know, were cerebral guys that knew what they were doing, but they didn't have the rest of the team around them like Luke Falk does now. But I think the biggest thing is Luke is not doing what Jeff Toole and Connor Halliday did. Those two turned the ball over quite a bit and had offenses that turned the ball over quite a bit. And they also didn't have the help of a defense that's powered by a guy whose last name is Grinch, who's trying to steal Christmas away from the hurricane. So, you know, we'll see what can happen.
That headline, that pun just comes, and all you can do is stare it in the face and go, oh, God, here it is. Okay, it's back now.
You really hope as a Coug, if you're a Coug fan, I have to believe that most people are hoping that somehow Alex Grinch makes some defensive adjustment and makes some type of idea, and somebody makes a big play on defense that maybe picks off Miami in the end zone, or, you know, a pick six to end the game or something like that, and it's the Grinch that stole Christmas. That would just be the best thing of all time for me.
What's your reaction to that pun and what Matt just said, Victor?
Brilliant. Just brilliant. I mean, I do agree with Matt did a good point. It is going to – I think that both teams have great offenses, but it is going to come down to which defense, I guess, has more of their – which defense is more together. Because I think either way, both offenses are going to score. It's going to limit the other's offense more.
Yeah, and Washington State offense has had two big sweeps of news as reports have leaked out of camp that it's likely Joe Dahl will be able to play in the Sun Bowl. It obviously won't be confirmed or anything like that, but having an All-American on the offensive line is going to be a huge step forward for this offense. And the other bit of good news the offense got was the fact that Miami's second string strong safety who leads the team in tackles. I was just looking at his name, Jamal. Shoot, it's
looking
at Morrow. No, for Miami, their safety that's out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm super cool.
Jamal Carter. Out.
Yes, Jamal Carter.
Carter's been,
that'll help the Cougs offense no matter what.
Yeah, and Carter's been a wrecking ball for Miami. I've watched some highlight videos. Having him out is a huge boost, as well as a defensive tackle. His name's escaping me as well, but he's out because he's academically ineligible. And he didn't even go to El Paso with the roster. So that's
see, what's interesting is that because I haven't been able to check up on any of this. Did he get sent home, or did he not even travel?
I've heard he hasn't even traveled.
Okay, because, see, not even traveling, that's one thing. But when the headline says sent home, it's like, well, if he was still in Miami and he was sent home, he really didn't have to go very far. But if he flew all the way to El Paso and then was told, oh, wow, look at your grades. No, go back.
That would be quite embarrassing for a player.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that would be disheartening, especially since you get to miss out on those sweet bowl gifts. Have you seen those?
Have you read
about those at all, guys?
I've seen some of the pictures, and they are sweet looking.
Have you heard about this, Victor?
I have not, but I'm picturing them in my head. It's probably more extravagant, but I'm seeing those.
So what happens is sponsors for the bowl game send products to the bowl committee, and then each player gets 500 points, and they get to go on a little bit of a spending spree buying these products from the sponsors that the bowl committee has, and they get to take that home with them.
How is that not improper benefits?
I guess
it's a really good question, but I'm guessing the bowl committee's managed to get it written into the byline.
I mean, like, that's the definition of improper benefit.
To be fair, the players aren't getting it for free. They're spending points.
Yeah, which doesn't cost them any money.
I know, I was saying that in quotation marks.
I guess I should go see if I have any academic eligibility left, and I'll go play a year for Coach Leach as a walk-on backup place kick holder or something, and, you know, get a chance to go to a bowl game and get some free swag.
That's how we could all fill our apartments with crap, right?
I spent points on it, therefore it's not academic fraud. What? No.
Nope, I agree. It's pretty funny. So, Victor, you and I talked a little bit about this in our last podcast a couple of weeks ago. Since then, you know, we were both talking about how we expected this to be a high-scoring game. Weather's looking like it's going to be in the mid-60s with rain, a pretty high chance of rain at this point at kick. Does that dampen your expectations of this team's offensive ability? We saw them struggle offensively against Portland State. Obviously, that was a much different point in the season. We saw them struggle a little bit against Stanford, but that was not only rain-induced, it was induced by Stanford's freakish athleticism on the front in the box as well as with some of their safeties. I'm going to give this question to Victor and then swing it over to Matthew. Victor, what do you think about the weather and how it might impact this game?
Just from the Cougs standpoint, I don't think it plays Basher. I mean, they do play in Pullman. I mean, we all went there, so we know that with the snow and the random winds and I mean, you got to just call it Pullman weather. I mean, I don't think it doesn't alter my perception of how the game's going to go, at least on the Cougs side. And I'm sure Miami, they got to be used to at least a little bit of rain, right?
Well, Miami gets torrential rains every 10 minutes. It just lasts for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, so I don't
Matthew,
really expect that to be a huge factor in this.
Yeah. Matt, I'm going to kick that question over to you now.
I think the biggest thing is that going to all these Coug games that I've been to, the home games, and going to the press conferences afterwards, and every game that came down to a weather question, the players got pissed. I mean, the first game, the Portland State game, Gabe Marks was asked about the weather, and he was like, I would be lying to you if I told you that it wasn't a factor, but it's not the reason we lost. And so then somebody shot back at him like, are you saying that the weather is why are you using the excuse that the weather is why you lost? And he's like, is that what I just said? And Gabe was visibly, you know, pissed off about it, because and he should be. I would have been furious. You know, I just said no, and I answered that question as I was answering a different question. Don't ask me the same question again. You know, the weather will never be allowed to be used as a reason for the loss, just like the Cougs refused to use Luke's absence as a reason for the Apple Cup loss, even though in that game, that's a much different game if Luke isn't at quarterback because he doesn't turn the ball over that much. But I digress. The weather in this game, if it is a factor, it will not be allowed by Coach Leach for it to be used as one after the fact. You know, the Cougs practice in snow. They practice in rain. They practice in cold rain. They've practiced in anything you can imagine. So whether they were in 100-degree heat or they were in snow or deep downpour and rain, they're going to be ready to go. The Cougs do work on all those different types of drills in terms of, you know, slick ball drills, all that kind of stuff, working to make sure that, hey, you know, if worse comes to worse, we need to be ready to you know, ball on a fumble or fight to keep a ball from being intercepted or, you know, avoid snap problems, you know, stuff like that. So they work on all that kind of stuff. So if it is an issue and if they struggle because of the weather, then, you know, that's sort of bad considering how they've played in some pretty crappy conditions, including the UCLA game was pretty wet, if I remember correctly. You know, the Portland State game, if one or two things go better, if you know, in Stanford's case, if they just find the end zone, you know, it's one of those things where the thing is Coach Leach has said, and he's actually been right 9 times out of 10 this season, if they just do their job, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you look back on all these losses on the season, you realize how frustratingly close this team is to an 11-1 record, and you just sit there and you just want to hit your head against the skull or against the nearest solid object. It could be the table, the wall, the door, or the floor, whatever.
I mean, if you hit your head against the skull, you're probably having some other issues.
Yeah, Neil, you should seek medical attention.
No, I'm fine, I think.
He said anyway, after he concussed.
Victor, we might need to get Neil checked. We'll put him in the NFL's concussion protocol and see what comes out of it.
Be on fine. Their NFL concussion.
Send him back on the field. He's okay. Totally off topic, but who wants to go see the movie Concussion?
I'm going.
Victor.
Oh, it's Victor. Very interesting. Yeah. I've seen
okay, yeah, I'm down.
So I feel like I'm going to Yeah, basically, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to go see it, too, at some point. All right. Trying to get back on topic here now. Well, actually, this is a nice transition. Concussions can have lingering effects. Now, none of us are doctors. We just pretend to be one on air.
Yes.
Or on the internet. Where do you think? Do you think these the lingering, there's gonna be any lingering effects for Luke after that hit? He's staying in Colorado. I know it was reported out of practice that they were during practices for the bowl game. They were taking it easy with him. They were kind of babying him in his first couple of practices. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Victor.
Okay. Well, I think at this point it shouldn't be a factor. I mean, like I said, none of us are doctors, and we're not. I mean, that's one of those things where you sort of have to sort of talk to Luke and, like, be around him to see what, if any, effect it still has on him. But the safe guess is no. He should be fine by now, at least for the short term. I mean, long term, that's a whole different story. But And it's really good that Leach took him out of the Apple Cup because, I mean, we had to swallow that awful loss. But now, theoretically, he should be 100% for this game.
What do you think, Matt?
The biggest thing that was a concern is I think you could see it in the UCLA game when he got hurt the first time. You know, he went out of the game, and I think everybody sort of assumed it was a concussion. And, you know, he went back to the locker room. Bender got a touchdown pass. The half ended. Luke came back out. He was playing. He took some shots. But if you look at that UCLA game, I can't tell you what the temperature was off the top of my head, but it was obviously warmer than what Pullman was the next week. And I think that had more of a factor to do with his injury because you talked about compounding, you know, concussions are, you know, you can layer them in terms of you have one, well, then you have another one. And that one just makes the first one worse. And then the second one, the third one makes the second one worse. And the fourth one makes the third one worse. And it just keeps piling on and piling on and piling on. So when he got the one at UCLA, if we remember, he also took a pretty good shot against Portland State that knocked him out. I'm not sure if it was concussion, shoulder, what exactly Leach pulled him for. Leach will never tell us. It'll be, well, we just rested him the rest of the game until the interception that ended the game. But, you know, it was something that he got hurt against UCLA, and then the very next week when he took the shot against Colorado, I was up in the press box, and I pulled my binoculars out because I really just wanted to see, you know, what was going on with Luke. And I saw his eyes were closed, and, like, that's where, you know, that's where you're like, okay, that is the worst kind of concussion. He is out. I mean, he's not moving. He's not anything. He is taking a nap on the field, and it's not by choice. You know, and so when I saw that, I knew that he was done at least for the Apple Cup, if not for the season. And so him practicing again is obviously great. But I do think that the coaches will monitor him as closely as they can because the future of the programs, you know, obviously it's only till he graduates or decides to leave because he's the best thing ever, this program is hitched to Luke. And I think that, you know, a lot of us had talked about if Leach didn't have a successful year this year, could it be his final one? And Luke was exactly the right horse, and he won the position back at fall camp. And a lot of people, you know, look at Peyton Bennett and they go, how is he competing with Luke? He has spurts, you know, but he also is very freshman-like. And when I say that, I mean he throws an interception almost a day at practice. And so it's one of those things where he's still learning and, you know, he got his harsh set of reality in the Apple Cup. And, you know, hopefully for Luke's sake, he had Apple Cup circled on the docket last year and he, you know, he deserves to get one and he deserves to get two if he can, you know, if he can get them, at least play in them. But in terms of the concussions as a whole, this, I don't think you need to worry too much, but when you've had at least two in a season, that's pretty concerning considering, you know, you don't want to have any ever as a normal human being. So having two, period, is scary. So, you know, you want to make sure that your offensive line is as built up as it can be, and if Joe actually does play, that's as good as it's going to get on the offensive line.
Victor and Matthew. Well, Matthew kind of brought this up with the previous quarterbacks earlier in the podcast and talking about the Apple Cup and circling and Luke deserving at least two. Washington State hasn't had a quarterback since Alex Brink play in back-to-back Apple Cups. That's food for thought, mostly due to some poor offensive line play, especially.
Kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So you were the program has been for any Miami fans who have stumbled upon this podcast. So for us to be at 8-4 in the Sun Bowl, it's like, yippee!
exactly.
So let's just quickly sum up this season in about 10 words. We'll kick it over to Victor first because he hasn't talked that much.
About roughly 10 words. Okay. A season that started out, how do I put this? Frustrating, very frustrating at the beginning, but I'm happy with where the team is now and I'm looking forward to the future.
Matt, you?
I would say, all right, let's see, 10 words. Crappy start, building toward the future.
That's five.
For Heisman.
Boom. Nicely done. I'm going to go with, and this is not, this is, both games, of the three games I went to this year, two of them were dumping rain. I'm going to go with wet, boring, frustrating, but goddamn exciting.
I thought you were going to go for wet, wild, and crazy, and I was going to go, are you still describing the Cougar football game?
Is this still, are you still talking about sports?
I was
sounds like a blizzard weekend in Pullman, really.
Yeah. It really does. So now that we've talked about this, let's quick hit on the national stuff. Who's your favorites in the national, in the playoff? Matt and then Victor, then me.
All right, let's see. We got Clemson and Oklahoma and Michigan State and Alabama. I want to have faith in Clemson because I really – they're the team I'm rooting for because if Stanford had made it in, I was going to root so hard for Christian McCaffrey. It wasn't even funny. I'm still disappointed he didn't win the Heisman. I thought he easily deserved it. When you break a record that Barry Sanders held, I'm pretty sure that means you should be the Heisman winner, but that's just me. And because
a lot of people agree with you.
The team that held him down. The Cougs were the only team that held him down, so that was actually, you know, that made it even better from a Coug perspective. But I feel like people want Clemson to pull it off in terms of, I don't think there are, I know people who are, they don't like Dabo Sweeney, but I like Clemson, but I'm worried because Baker Mayfield is a beast. He's got the ability to do what he wants with the ball whenever he wants. He's got weapons all over the field. Watson's got weapons on Clemson. Their defenses are both – I mean, obviously, they're here for a reason. You know, I think I'll give Clemson the edge against Oklahoma. I don't really have a score. And then Michigan State, Alabama. That's going to be the fun one. As much scoring will happen in Oklahoma and Clemson, the grind them out, beat them up game, Michigan State, Alabama, is just going to be so much fun to watch. Derrick Henry is going to try to run through the brick wall that is that Michigan State defense. I mean, it's
okay.
Got excellent game written all over it. So I'm excited to see that game. I'm going to give the edge to Alabama simply because I don't know that Connor Cook can carry Michigan State past Alabama's defense.
All right, your national champion, real quick.
With that, it would probably be Bama because I don't think you can beat Bama if you're Clemson just because of how your team is set up.
All right, Victor, quick. Semifinal predictions and national champion.
For Clemson game, I'm picking Clemson, sorry. And then I think Michigan will upset Bama, as crazy as that may sound. Hey, I'm pulling for Clemson to just take the whole thing.
I got Sparty in Oklahoma in the championship game with Oklahoma pulling it out because I like chaos. Thanks so much for listening to the Sports with Neil podcast. Have a great day. All right. Thanks, guys. That's fun.
Nice. I didn't know it would only be a half hour. That was cool.
Yeah, it's quick fire because otherwise I have to pay like $180 a year.
Oh, you can have
That makes sense.
That being said, with the 108 with the primes, the whatever they call it, the VIP shit, you get the prime time of 5 to 8, 5 to 7:30, and even a 2-hour show.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just live. It's whatever it is. So. All right, Matt. We should do this again sometime.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, man.
Keep me posted.
How was your drive,
later,
Victor?
Guys.
Oh, I will. Later.
Bye.
How's your drive? Bye, Matt. Victor,
oh, wait, what?
There?
Sorry.
How are you?
I'm good. The drive was boring.
How'd you get there?
Oh, my dad. And it was like going to a different country. It's freaking, there's snow here, but there isn't anything in Richland.
It's dumping in Pullman right now.
I'm
so
kind of.
That there's none where you are.
Yeah, there's none in Richland, but and there's snow on the ground here in Moses, but so it's definitely better than Pullman.
No kidding. So
oh, man.
Yeah, I would offer to play GTA today, but my brother's in his room with his girlfriend.
Gross.
I know, right? And then tomorrow I'm at work from 9:30 to 6:30. And then
I
did the podcast. Victor.
Yo.
Victor says hi.
I said yo. Don't hinder my words.
Too late. Too late. And then I fly to El Paso at 6:30 tomorrow on Christmas Day.
Yeah, so you're like booking it.
Yeah.
So, a couple days. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Did you know? I started.
What's up, Victor?
Oh, I was
you still there?
To say, yeah. When I wrote like two articles like at the same time.
I need you to let me know when you're
yeah.
Like noticing that I've used the same phrases over and over again. I gotta like switch up my game here.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I haven't written in a while, but it's hard when you get into these grooves and the articles become formulaic and write themselves, and then you realize it, it's like that's not entertaining to read.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I switched it a little bit. I just put it like a rant in, basically.
Yeah, why not?
Angry
go
rant
for it.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just, it is what it is. You got any exciting plans for Christmas?
My aunt's coming in to town, but that's pretty much it. I'm hanging out.
What?
I watched the game with Roland, I think. he said his uncle like wants to smoke weed too. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Game time.
Yeah, I guess.
My plan is to try and get on TV. Did your dad get down and get on the TV?
Get on TV.
Okay. Get on the TV.
Oh, he's straight.
New plan. Ooh, Victor suggested streaking.
You'll definitely get on TV if you do that.
Victor can streak.
Victor, my dad says you can take his ticket and streak instead. Oh, never mind.
I'm streaking.
No, I'm going to make a giant sign that says, welcome to the Dennis Erickson Bowl, because Dennis Erickson coached at both schools.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe they'll do like a history tidbit, and then your sign will get put up there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm planning.
Oh, yeah?
Oh. Erickson was at that's actually the hope. Because Erickson was at WSU from 87 to 88, and then he was at Miami like 89 to 92, 93.
We'll take your pocket, we'll roll under.
So, it was exciting stuff.
I have a joke to tell you when you're done with that.
So, Alex says he has a joke. I'm going to put Victor on speaker so Victor can hear the joke.
No, it's a visual thing.
Oh.
What?
Alex says it's a visual joke.
Visual.
I'm sorry, Victor. Yeah, I don't know how a visual joke would work, but we'll see.
This is the problem with telephones, goddammit.
I know, right? If I had time on Sundays to Skype and do those podcasts, I'd do that. But
where's them?
I am time poor.
Skype's just so annoying how, like, it'll open up every time you turn on the computer. Like, you have to go.
You're always logged in.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Trust me, I'm well aware. You know what else is annoying? Victor?
Clowns?
Well, yeah.
Clowns?
People who don't pay their bills.
Who isn't paying their
people
bills?
People who don't pay their bills and then get disconnected because they're like, oh, I don't know how to pay my bill.
I didn't know how to pay
you
my
didn't.
Bill.
I've been getting my bill. I had one guy who was pissed off because he was disconnected. He hadn't gotten his bill and he'd been at that address for 4 months. He didn't call in to see why he wasn't getting his bill.
He
was so stupid.
Like,
he was pissed.
He was probably convinced himself he was getting free energy.
I know,
that's
right?
What happened. That's exactly what happened.
Like,
he was like,
they dumbasses.
If they didn't send
you
me
pay
the
your
bill,
power bill, right, Victor?
Wait, what?
You pay your power bill, right? I know some people at Avista.
Yeah, I don't go through Avista, though. It's through the city.
Oh, you're Tri-City Light or whatever?
It's just the Richland, the city of Richland.
Oh, huh. Interesting. I didn't know Richland actually had, you know, enough of a government to govern itself. I thought everything was the Tri-Cities.
I mean, Richland's like the richer neighborhood, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of old people there. I see them as like a retiree sort of place.
Is it?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like that when I was there, but then again, we were in the by the campus, so.
Yeah.
Not that surprising.
A lot of old people.
Yeah, a lot of old people.
Why there's a PBS station there?
Damn it, Victor.
I love my job, but I have to make fun of it every now and again.
Yeah, why not? You're not living if you aren't.
Just to keep up with it.
I broke my computer.
Are you getting another one?
No, I was joking. I just texted it out of something. my computer wasn't working, so.
Did you get Windows 10 yet?
Yes, I got the free update.
Okay. It took forever for mine to go through for some reason.
Really? What did you do? Piss Windows off? Were you talking to Apple behind Windows back, Victor? Is that what you were doing?
Kind of, but the you know, the little icon, it would pop up at like the bottom right of your screen or whatever on the little taskbar thing. I like click on it, but then it would just continuously would give me like that circle thing where it was just like loading up forever. until like one day when I tried it just randomly, and then it finally worked.
Sound like fun.
I know, right? I'm just like, oh, I guess I'm not cool enough for Windows 10.
What's up, Dad?
You're all hands free, so you can get some more stuff.
I'm working on it. I was just about to open up the Steam. The Steamer.
You steaming
some? I'm going to steam. Speaking of Steam, I bought Gary's Mod. Have you ever heard of that?
Gary's Mod?
Yeah.
I haven't.
It was some small game that nobody played, but somebody took it, took the graphics, modded the shit out of it, and then rebrand packaged it as Gary's Mod, because it's a huge thing. There's all sorts of game types on it. You can play hide and seek, prop hunt, build shit. You know, it's a very interactive game. And anyone can mod it. And it's really intense. Like, you know those guys I always watch on YouTube with the one guy with the weird laugh?
Yeah, yeah.
They play it a lot, and I watch a lot of their videos. It's funny. It was like $10 on Steam. It's a massive multiplayer thing.
Oh, dude, hell yeah. For $10.
So, yeah. So what I'm really saying here, Victor, is you need to get it. So
yeah, I need to get
it. You need Gary's Mod, because that's not relying on me having an upgraded console.
Dude,
it's an old game.
I've been replaying Black Flag.
Have you? Dude, that game's so cool.
I
love that game. They did a really good job with it.
It's funny how fucking... I'm only like 30% into like the story or whatever. So I've already like done all the fucking Fort shit. Like, I killed a bunch of forts before I did the actual, like, fort mission, where you're just supposedly, like, get your own fort this time.
Right.
It was just, like, funny to be like, bro, I already got this.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I'm already advanced fastest.
I already got this.
Don't worry about it. It's a fun game.
Dude, those legendary ships are terrifying, though.
I can't do it, especially when you accidentally stumble on it in free roam.
When you're on accident, you're like, oh, what's this ship? Oh, my God.
Run! Like, the only thing you're thinking is, run, Mother Trucker, run!
Dude, I tried to take it on, like, once, and then, like, it rammed me, and just from the ram, it, like, almost killed me.
That's legendary ship. That's the one in the bottom quadrant of the map, right? The bottom left quadrant?
I don't know. That one was at the top.
I know one of them, if you stay out of its ramming range, which is really, really hard, it's really easy to sink because its cannons don't do shit.
But, yeah, the one that I stumbled upon, it was like basically just a man-of-war on steroids.
Yeah,
so
steroids.
It's a ram, for some reason. So it just rammed my ass and then just unloaded its cannons on me and I died in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's about right. And then there's two of those massive modded man-of-wars. You sink one of them, Victor?
Yeah.
The other one destroys you. Oh, and by the way, when you respawn, you're not respawning at the checkpoint where one of them is gone. You have to beat them both again.
Dude, I hate... It's so annoying.
That was the last time I played Black Flag. I stumbled upon those. I think one of the ships I was excited, and then I died. And I respawned, and they were both there.